This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Fresno State marketing professor Monique Bell recently published a first-of-its-kind study of Black entrepreneurs in the wine industry. What she found is that many face unique barriers in their attempt to enter a field dominated by white men, but through community and perseverance are thriving nonetheless. I spoke to Bell about her research, and we were also joined by Aaliyah Natoto, founder and winemaker at the Free Range Flower Winery, and Fern Stroud, the founder of the Black Vines Festival, an annual celebration of Black winemakers in Oakland. So Monique, I'd like to start with you. One of the statistics that you include in your report is that Black people make up more than 10% of the U.S. wine market, but Black-owned wineries account for less than 1% of all American wineries, which is obviously a pretty big disconnect, but honestly one that didn't surprise me all that much. And I realized I have all these assumptions about why there is not a lot of diversity within the wine industry. I would assume you went into this project with assumptions of your own. How did your findings match your preconceptions or challenge them?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, even going back to this, what the genesis of all of this research was attending Fern Stroud's Black Vines Festival back in 2017. I was, you know, at that time in my 30s, I had never experienced a sight like that before of seeing Black wine consumers as well as Black wine entrepreneurs. Like, it never occurred to me that Black people would be entrepreneurs, would own vineyards in the wine space. So there was a complete disconnect for me until that event, which was only, 4 years ago. So that's really been the crux in my drive, is that I don't want other folks to be in their 30s before they know that the wine industry is available as a career path for Black people, Black entrepreneurs, and not only a career path, but also entrepreneurship, so building your own. So going back to your question, yes, I came into this really blind, not really knowing what I was going to find, but many of the kind of presumptions that I had did bear out, particularly with financing and access to capital being a core issue. For any business, for any entrepreneur, I'm sure finding capital can be challenging. In the wine industry, it's compounded by the fact that many of these wineries, if you're talking specifically about wineries, and of course my study discusses all types of wine businesses, but if you're talking specifically about wineries, oftentimes those are handed down generation by generation. And so if we've never been in that space, we can't, of course, hand it down. And so I think that really is a primary factor about why the presence of Black-owned wine businesses, and in particular wineries, are really, really, really at a minimum, and that there's this huge disparity that you have a $70 billion business, and there's only a less than 1% Black representation.
Well, you mentioned that your interest in this topic was born out of the Black Vines Festival, and I'm so happy we have Fern Stroud here, who founded that festival with us. Fern, tell us a little bit about how that event came about. I understand you've been doing it for 10 years now.
Yes. Black Vines was literally the brainchild of trying to figure out a way to celebrate Black History Month. The culmination of Black History Month, where we focus on Black future. And we wanted to highlight areas of excellence that weren't always known or people had no knowledge of. And we started doing some research and found, you know, being not too far from the U.S. capital of the wine industry, in Napa, here in Napa and Sonoma counties, there were Black winemakers that had been doing it for quite some time. So we really wanted to shine a light on celebrating the future of where this industry can go, celebrating art and artisans and the culinary arts and jazz. So that is how Black Vines came about, purely a space to celebrate Black excellence, and to continue to celebrate Black futures.
You know, one of the central questions in the research was what motivates Black wine entrepreneurs to enter this industry and to persist within it. So, Aaliyah, you founded your own winery. What motivated you to do that?
Well, of course, I love wine. And I really, really love, I like herbs and flowers. And I learned to make wine with flowers. So that's something that that's really important to say is that I don't have any grapes in the wine that I make. The wine that I make is made with flowers like roses and lavender and marigold and hibiscus and like that. And it's something that women have been doing for hundreds of years in different countries or along the continents and stuff like that. And I wanted to bring them to the forefront. I wanted to make them something that's well known. So that's part of the driving force. And the other driving force is just to be out there and to like, and as Fern was just saying, Black excellence. It's like we have so many things that are going on and we're so talented at so many things. And it was like, this is something that I can do that can actually make me and make the wine stand out. I actually apply for internships at various wineries that have grape wine when I was in college and right out of college. And I wasn't able to penetrate at all, get my foot in the door. So once I figured out about these wines, it was like, this is a way for me to get in with my foot in the door with without a lot of capital, without having to have had to inherit a winery or be somebody from the tech industry that like retires and decides to buy a vineyard. It's like it was a wine business that I was able to make from scratch in my little place and like build it out little by little by word of mouth and by love of community.
You know, what Aaliyah has just described, starting small and slowly building it out, seems to be a trend among the entrepreneurs that, Monique, you interviewed in the course of your research. Can you speak a little bit about how these businesses are getting started? It seems to me that many of the folks who are doing this work also have other jobs on the side in order to, you know, stay financially solvent.
Absolutely. So a big majority of the folks who I interviewed are currently employed elsewhere. They're actually getting income from another source. So that was definitely the majority of folks that I spoke with. That was their story, that they weren't in a position or didn't feel secure enough to make the full leap to just maintaining and focusing on their wine business. And I think, again, that speaks to the issue of capital. Not having that safety net, still needing to kind of do double the work to make their dream come true. So, yeah, it's challenging. But again, these entrepreneurs are driven, they're persistent, and they really, as you saw in the report, 96% consider their business as an extension of themselves. So if their business fails, that's really something that is heartbreaking for them as a person, as an entrepreneur. And so I think that's part of what continues to drive these entrepreneurs in the midst of all of these challenges and barriers, is that they have this connection with the business and themselves. And for those who are running family businesses, that idea of having a legacy to pass on is really important. I will add a point I was trying to get to. I think it's 88% of the firms who I surveyed were self-funded, meaning that they use funds from their own savings, perhaps friends and family, credit cards, things like that. So again, it's really taking a big risk, taking a big leap of faith, but they can kind of counteract that by also maintaining another source of income to keep them and their family stable.
So Fern, you're so well connected with Black wine entrepreneurs. Can you speak to what you have heard around how race has created sort of unique challenges for folks who are entering into this industry?
Wow. Yes. There is times where just who we are in spaces comes with a preconceived notion of lack of knowledge, lack of perseverance in spaces and not the same knack for the industry as others, other professionals in that space. I call it very similar to the tech industry, where often you are the only person in the room that looks like you. And I can say of the winemakers that we work with personally, several have echoed the fact that often they are the only person that looks like them in rooms, in spaces of wine professional arenas. And that is just echoed time and time again. And so that's why it's so important for spaces like Black Vines and other festivals that cater to very specific demographics to shine, so folks can see there's other people that look like them in this space and start to build that community, which is so very important, having support, having folks who have gone through some of those hoops and hurdles, and having that repository of information that you can pull from. It's very, very important. And that is something that I've continuously heard over the years, is just being the only person in the space and sometimes being having your skills being doubted just for what you look like.
Aaliyah, is that something that you experienced?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A story that I tell all the time is how, like, when I was first getting started, one of the strategies for some winemakers is to get a what's called a custom crush, where you actually partner with another winery that is established, and they help you to make your wine. Either they you pay them to make it, or they allow you to use part of their space to make the wine, and they basically help you out. And at the time, because, you know, I was really new in the industry, and I wasn't connected to Black winemakers, and all of hat in hand to white winemakers, primarily men, and having that same feeling, to the point where I got a yes from somebody that I could do a custom crush with them. But then right before we moved in, they pulled out after we spent money to move in. They pulled out and broke the deal. And then I found out a month later that they pulled somebody else in who was a white male. And of course, it makes you feel like you're less than, and it makes you feel like, makes you think about giving up. But if I was going to give up, I probably would be dead right now, because there's been a lot of things in my life that have been like that, you know? So you keep persevering, you keep going, and, figuring out how to do it on your own. But yes, it's like, that's what happens for a lot of us. And I really feel like it's my responsibility to be there, to be that role model for other folks that are going through this, that they don't have to give up. It's going to be hard. People are going to throw you shade. They're going to throw roadblocks in your way. But the deal with Black Excellence is that, can you imagine what we would have been, where we all would be right now, if we didn't have the roadblocks that we have in front of us, because we're succeeding regardless. And I want to be that person to be able to remind people of that.
Absolutely. So Monique, between the pandemic and last summer's civic unrest following George Floyd's murder, 2020 was a really interesting year to be conducting this research. How did those events impact the Black wine entrepreneurs that you surveyed?
Absolutely. I could, of course, have never predicted that this would happen. I thought my sabbatical semester of fall 2020, I was going to be out living the good life at vineyards and, enjoying the wine that the entrepreneurs were talking about. But instead, we were all online in Zoom doing these interviews. The benefit of that was, though, it allowed me to actually speak with wine entrepreneurs I never would have been able to meet with or see visually, probably, because of Zoom, including winemakers in South Africa and Germany, and, just gave it much more of a global presence. But to speak directly to your question about how the 2020 year, the pandemic, and then the George Floyd murder and then the Buy Black movement that seemed to follow that, it, from my understanding from both the survey and later interviews that I did with these entrepreneurs, it really was a double-edged sword. So the notion that I got from most of the entrepreneurs was if they could bring George Floyd back to life and not have this new found interest in their businesses and have this uptick in sales related to people's focus on buying black and buying black wines, they would give it up in a heartbeat not to have had that murder occur, not to have had, you know, the pain for that family. And so it was a really a double-edged sword. Of course, they appreciated the attention, the new demand for their products, the new lists that were going around on social media of 10, you know, black wine brands or, you know, who you wine brands you can support. They would have traded it in a heartbeat. At the same time, they were very grateful that they were being finally recognized and honored and coming into the mainstream radar as reputable quality wine businesses. When it comes to COVID more specifically, in the report, I do detail that 36% of survey respondents who applied for some form of COVID relief were not given any relief. So that was surprising, but not surprising to me that, you know, the majority of black wine entrepreneurs who had applied for relief were actually denied it. They did not get any help. So that was kind of startling and definitely unfortunate. And I just, it made me wonder what kind of support they had in completing that paperwork and kind of getting to the front of the line when it came to relief. So that just opened up a new realm of questions for me about the equity in the aid and relief process.
This is a very general question, but it's one that I would love to hear all of you respond to. The question is, why does diversity in the wine industry matter? And Fern, I'll go ahead and start with you.
Diversity matters primarily because, first and foremost, the future of our ecosystem depends on the ability to sustain wealth, to build wealth. If there is not a person that looks like you in an industry that you can see, then oftentimes you have no example to say that you can be there as well. So first and foremost, representation matters for future generations to know that they too can do this. Secondly, diversity matters because like art, like music, like food, the ability to taste someone's artistic expression in a wine allows you to go down a whole nother path. And so diversity opens up the space for more expressions to be made in the wine industry. There are, 1,000-plus wineries in Napa Valley. All of them primarily have a Cabernet Sauvignon, and each one of them have their own way of making that wine. So there's diversity in the amount of wineries that are there. So the fact that, you know, the racial diversity is also needed is just to continue to find different expressions on this wonderful grape that continues to make people happy around the world.
Aaliyah, what would you add to that?
You know, I don't make wine out of grapes. I make wine with flowers. And I want to use that as an analogy for race and for everything else, for like the fact that women in the industry are a small percentage. And then, you know, people like African-Americans are like, what, less than 1%? And African-American women are even smaller than that. And then I have an even more specialty wine on top of that. The thing is that when it comes to diversity, we're losing experience. We're losing expertise. We're losing culture. The diversity is really important because when you see everyone in that is in the world represented, everyone benefits, period. You know, if you've never tried, what, a Cabernet Sauvignon, or if you've never tried a lavender wine, then you don't know. People can, you know, people will, I'll see people and they'll scrunch up their nose and they're like, that sounds awful. And then they try it and, you know, their face lights up and they're like, I have never tasted anything like that. And I'm like, well, that's the thing with culture. That's the thing with having people in the world that aren't subjugated and that can build on and be whole human beings that are healthy in the world. It's a benefit. The problem we have in this world today is that we're all scared, right? People are all scared of other people. They're scared of the unknown. And what they don't understand is the more we're siloed, the more we are put in boxes and we're isolated from the rest of the world, the less full our lives are.
So, Monique, I'm going to give you the last word. Why does diversity in the wine industry matter to you?
Diversity in the wine industry really matters to me from the sense of opportunity. I want, especially young people, but also, you know, mid-career transition folks, older entrepreneurs, retirees, I want everyone to know that they have a space and that they actually belong in the wine industry. And a good way to begin that path and to begin having that exposure is by amplifying those folks who are already there. And then it kind of just grows from there. The more you see, the more you have. So I think, again, just echoing what Fern and Aaliyah mentioned, you know, you have this beautiful product of wine, and it's only made better by innovation, by change, by kind of taking what's old and turning it on its head. So I think when you just bring more cultures to that, you bring more diversity to that, you can only experience some really wonderful outcomes. And so I think it's beneficial both to the industry as well as to the entrepreneurs, as well as the end consumer, to have this kind of diverse mix of folks within the industry. And so I'm really happy, kind of one last footnote from the study, 90% of subjects said that compared to last year, a year from when I took the survey, they said that they are more optimistic about the future of their business. And so that gives me hope. And I'm just really excited to see what comes from these Black wine entrepreneurs.
Well, I've been talking with Monique Bell, Associate Professor of Marketing at Fresno State, Fern Stroud, founder of the Black Vines Festival in Oakland, and Aaliyah Nitoto, founder and winemaker at Free Range Flower Wines. Thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.